Hello and welcome to the third episode of the Created Listening Podcast.
Yay.
Broadcasting from sunny San Marcos, Texas. And this time it is sunny outside.
Yes, this time it is.
Finally.
This time it is sunny. Even Central Texas. Eventually, one day, we'll come up with a script that introduces the podcast the same way every time. But I try to ballpark it.
Yeah, well, I like random stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Chris Berkheimer. And you can follow me on Twitter at CS Berkheimer, or follow the Twitter handle for Created Listening at Created Listen.
Mm-hmm.
And with me today, as always, is Luke Laris.
Yep. Hello.
Hi, Luke. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm doing quite well. I'm excited. Actually, we have a little something from Twitter that I didn't even mention to you until now. That you may have seen it. We were tagged or.
Somebody mentioned it.
Yeah. I'm going to bring that up today.
He's like, I retweeted a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Well, there was something else. There was a part two to that. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So okay. We'll talk about it for a second. But we have one more person to introduce, and it is Bethany Dunn.
Hey.
Hi, Bethany.
Hey.
Now, Bethany, how did you end up here exactly?
Well, you kind of dragged me here.
Oh, okay.
So. Not really. You asked me to.
Do you know us or?
Yes. So Chris is my fiance.
Okay.
Yay!
She's engaged to me.
Yes.
Yes, I'm just kind of concerned about the chain you dragged her in with.
I know. Pulled her on in.
Yes.
Yeah. Said you will marry me. Like I'm like Jafar. So it is Bethany's first time on the show.
Yep.
So she is going to do her Fab Five.
I guess that's like a prerequisite to get on the show or something.
Your first time on the show, Luke, the rule is you have to do a Fab Five, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was super hard.
Yeah.
Huh? That was really hard.
Yes, she had a lot of trouble. She was working on the car today.
Yeah.
But before we get to Bethany's Fab Five, I want to talk about this Twitter thing real quick, just so we can not get that out of the way, but just because I literally just remembered myself.
I don't check it that often.
There's a there's a guy named Joshua Legari. Sorry if I'm butchering your name. My name is Berkheimer, so you know everybody messes it up. Mr. Birkenmeyer? Mr. Berkmeyer?
Yeah.
I don't know where they get the Meyer.
I don't know.
Maybe they're hungry. Oscar Meyer.
I got called Lars one day.
Yeah, I'm not surprised with that. Anyways, he was talking a lot about Clean Flicks, basically, and was talking to us on Twitter about it. And I guess he runs Icarus Arts and Entertainment. He's on a couple different podcasts, and he makes indie films. Anyways, he was just talking to us on Twitter, and he said about our second show, which was on Clean Flicks, he said that it was interesting to hear a moderate Christian's take on Clean Flicks. And I think that was actually pretty nice of him to think that we had a good conversation and that we're moderate Christians.
And also, despite the mic doing rocking on the table the whole time.
Yeah. he still listened.
That's awesome.
At least to the discussion. So that was, that was cool. And I told him we'd give him a mention on the next episode, which here we are. Thank you, Joshua. And I just want to say, too, I hope plenty of people will listen to us, who aren't Christians because they're interested in what we're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But we do like to think of ourselves as very not religious people.
Yeah.
So that's why we could talk about Clean Flicks the way we did. We're the type of people that would rather go to the gay pride parade with the shirt or the signs that say, I'm sorry for the way the church has treated you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Instead of, the God hates you-know-what type stuff. Yeah, that was... That was really cool to see people do that kind of stuff. And we want to do that here in Austin eventually. Anyways, we like a lot of different people.
Oh, yeah.
We hope that in listening to this, you learn more about some of the Christians out there that maybe aren't portrayed in the media as much or who aren't what you always think of.
Yeah.
Like, there's no pews in our church.
Yeah.
Basically, we're the opposite of Westboro Church in pretty much everything.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. And that's a good way to put it for our audience, Luke. Because everybody knows about it. We're very anti-Westboro Baptist, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Because they are nothing like we want to be like, which is like Jesus. Jesus would have, he would have gone to a dead soldier's funeral and prayed for them to come back to life.
Yeah.
Yes, so, he would have instead of causing all that mayhem. He would have gone to Connecticut and caused all that crap too.
I barely even want to touch any of that. Just to say that we want to hang out with people that may have different walks than us, but you know, we like good food and good movies and
good company.
I think we like good company.
Yeah.
And we love puppies. I don't know if anybody else out there does.
Puppies, kittens. Those
puppies, kittens. Really small animals are
those people who don't.
Yes.
Guinea pigs.
Small animals really are the great bring together, you know. We all. Anyway, so Dustin and I may talk a little bit more about this sometime of just, you know, kind of who we are and what our philosophy is and all that, but I think Luke hit it on the head. We're the opposite of Westboro Baptist. So without further ado, so that we can keep the show a little shorter maybe, Bethany Dunn is going to do her Fab Five for us.
All right. Well, it was hard only because I couldn't think of anything, and then Chris started spitting out all these really good suggestions. I'm like, okay, it's the Fab Five, not the Fab 20.
Yep.
So,
Now, well, before you do number one, can you tell people, just if this is their first episode, what is the Fab Five, or how did I explain it to you? What does it mean to you?
You were telling me it's things that define you, or I guess help influence your life and maybe where you are at that point in time. So it wasn't just pick your five favorite movies or, you know, favorite people in the world or whatever. It was, you know, what do you go, you know, day in, day out that influence you?
In one way, I think not to toot my own horn, but I think I put it one way is if you walked into a room and found these five things, people would think of you.
Yeah. Basically. Oh, man, that totally changes some of these.
Well, you know, close to it. I mean, for me, if you found a bunch of C.S. Lewis books and a copy of Blade Runner on Blu-ray, you'd be like, oh, Chris was here.
Yeah. Yes. And junk food. probably my first one, only because it's defined me for the longest, and it's that I have a twin sister.
Yep.
We are not identical.
It's defined you your whole life.
It's my whole life. That's why I said the longest, so almost 25 years of it. So we don't look a thing alike, and she's 2 or 3 inches shorter than me, but she has helped me with my social skills, my fashion skills, I mean, just helped me become the person I am today. So that's the one thing I think that's going to be hard getting married to you is feel like I'm betraying my other half, so, but it's good.
Just let the world know.
Yeah, of course. No, but she's my best friend, so she's probably the biggest thing that's defined me. So that's number one.
Luke, were you going to say something?
I was going to say you're just like your third.
Yes, yeah. let's see, number two, I'm going to go ahead and say chocolate. And yes, of course. We were just snacking on Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies, so those are delicious. But probably my favorite chocolate thing is at the Alamo Draft House. They have this $5 shake, and they come in all different flavors and shapes and sizes, and probably the worst calories that you could possibly imagine.
Probably.
But you know, you only live once, so I just
and
love
hello.
It.
And it is called the $5 shake. And it's almost worth the money.
It is worth the money.
And I'm sure you get the reference, so I don't need to mention it.
Yeah.
But they do have like a peanut butter chocolate version and a mocha version, and they're all
cookies.
Pretty tasty.
Yeah.
So when Bethany and I are there drinking a $5 shake, that's a good date for us.
Yes. Oh, yes. Nice. and then my next one, I'm going to go with Parks and Rec.
Yes. I knew you'd put that
on. Remember Luke had Ron Swanson.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the greatest shows. I began watching Scrubs, and I think Parks and Rec was it was a more mature version of some of that kind of humor. Mm-hmm. It was just very quick and witted, and you can get it very quickly.
Yeah.
And I've just fallen in love with that show. Just perfect characters. They mesh wonderfully.
They do.
And I'm just so upset that Leslie Knope and her real life husband are getting divorced. But other than that, I am crazy in love with this movie, and I hope it continues for several seasons. So, but I'm excited that Ben and Leslie are getting married in the show.
Yeah, Leslie, spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry for anyone who didn't see those.
It's a comedy, so people care.
Yes.
Yeah.
My fourth one, I'm going to have to go with Aquaman and Mira, the comic books. And Chris...
Well, really the couple in the...
Yeah.
In the
comics. Yeah.
Like, those were real comics because I saw those in SpongeBob and I was like, oh, that's a SpongeBob.
No. Yeah. The, what is it? Barnacle Boy and Mermaid Man?
Yeah.
That's a parody of Aquaman and Mira.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. I didn't even know that.
That's a parody of those two.
I see. Well, yeah. Very good parody.
But
Bethany, why do you like Aquaman and Mira?
Well, you and I kind of got started. I mean, you and all your nerdiness, you kind of introduced comic books to me.
I introduced comics in general.
You did in a good way. You gave me... I mean, you tried a couple, and I think this one's stuck.
Guys, if you want to know, or even girls that want to get, if you want to get somebody into comics, okay, Bone by Jeff Smith, okay? It's about these little, like, bone creatures, which seem almost like they walk straight out of Walt Disney. But it's, I would say it's like if Walt Disney wrote Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But that's what got Bethany started, but now she loves Aquaman.
Yeah, I am in love with Aquaman, and then he's got a kick butt girlfriend named Mira, and she's super smoking hot, and I'm okay with saying that. But
there are very few ugly women in comics. I
did notice that just yesterday. She's pretty cool, and I just love that. I mean, she's not just Aquaman's girlfriend. I mean, she's Mira. She's got her own.
She's not Supergirl or Batgirl or Spider-Girl. She is Mira. She's not Aquawoman.
That sounds awesome. And so I think she's got some pretty awesome powers, too, that Aquaman doesn't have. And so I think, you know, he's got a certain line of respect for her.
She's very independent.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, the more she reminds me of our friend Emily.
Yes. We're going to tell her that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my fourth. And then honestly, there were so many I couldn't decide for my fifth. But you know, when it came down to it, I was like, you know what? Really, it's, I guess you'd say the gym. Because I think Chris gave me this option. And I went with the gym. And okay, I'm going to sneak it in there.
Now, gym, not the 80s cartoon show.
No.
The GYM.
Yes, like a workout.
She exercises people.
Yes. I'm a personal trainer, so that's what I do. And that kind of defines my life day in and day out. So when I'm talking about a $5 shake, that's not what I eat and drink every day. It's a very good treat. But I'm going to slip it in there. I love Starbucks, and that was the other one I was fighting for. But the gym really does define me a lot more than Starbucks.
You snuck in.
I did.
I snuck in because I love you.
But yeah, I mean, I love what I do, and it's just helped me become who I am and just the lifestyle that I want to lead. So,
Luke, you were going to say something?
All right. What kind of gymnast are you? Are you, oh, I had a shake. I'm going to have to exercise for 3 days straight.
No.
She has chocolate on her list. So really, it's just she works out to stay fit, but she doesn't regulate the diet as much, which is good for me.
That is very good for you.
I'm not the kind of person that's going to say, you can't have this, you can't have that, because it's not good for you. I eat pizza and hamburgers, and, you know, we have fried egg rolls for New Year's Eve, but, you know, I still have a healthy lifestyle. I still know if I want to have those things, I have to make up for it a little bit in the gym and have to do some work.
Cool. So. And Bethany drinks water all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one good thing, too. Mm-hmm. More people should do.
Yes. So that's it. That's my Fab Five.
Yeah. And to tie that into our relationship, yes, Bethany's a personal trainer. And as you can tell, I'm a very deep, deep thinker. So. I'm kidding. No, Bethany very much is about keeping your body right. I like keeping my mind right and healthy and active.
And together you make yoga.
And we come
yoga.
No, together we come together in the church.
Ooh.
So there's the soul too. So the three of us make up our own little, you know, Trinity Triforce there.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Luke, I'm gonna sit in the seat more often. People can't see, but I can see the mic levels in the mirror. There's a mirror behind me. So it kind of helps me to tell if I'm talking too loud.
No, you've been doing good so far.
Maybe you should sit there more often.
Yeah.
You've been doing good today.
Thank you. Luke adjusted it. He's got me a mile away. So that is Bethany's Fab Five. And just real quick, we want to do a quick news story just so that we can always have a piece of news. Let's just roll right into it. The news. Yes, one story. And I didn't think we'd ever touch on sports that much or touch on the news of the day as much, but already I read a piece that says that J.J. Abrams, is creator of Lost, is going to produce a Lance Armstrong biopic.
I'm very torn
now,
on this.
Yeah, now before Luke, you let it fly, it sounds like Paramount Pictures, J.J. Abrams have already made plans. I don't know if they're going to, if they've got Lance Armstrong to sign over the rights or not, But I would guess that he already signed him over a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So they can just make it and cover the story now, which, unless you've been living under a rock, go ahead and climb out. Lance Armstrong admitted completely that he doped for pretty much every cycling competition he was in.
Actually, not completely.
Not completely.
No, he kind of...
Yeah, but I mean, he came out enough to say...
I lied,
and also enough for the Olympics and the Tour de France to take away his medals and trophies.
Okay, I can respect that.
And you know, it's a shame. It's baseball has had this problem forever that, like, if you got rid of all the dopers in baseball, there'd be no MLB. You know, and I wonder how bad it is in cycling if it's, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I don't think
Lance isn't isolated. Because I think without the drugs, I still think Lance Armstrong could have done at least half of what he did.
I don't think cycling's now as bad as baseball, but for him to get severely punished like this, knowing that it's not just him doing it, it's tons of other people. I think it's too severe.
I don't know what you do. But yeah, I want to hear Luke, because he...
I actually read about this. It's really hard to detect when they're doping. Because they can disguise it as a placebo in the bloodstream and stuff. So you can't tell.
But people are still doing it.
So
Luke, when I first brought up the story, though, you seemed kind of fired up about just making a movie about it, so...
I'm torn because J.J. Abrams, he made Lost. I am a huge fan of Lost, but I am not a huge fan of Lance Armstrong.
So you're thinking it's a waste of J.J. Abrams' time?
Yes, okay. I am. Because of the doping thing, and I don't like sports that much.
Welcome to the Creative Listening Podcast.
Well, one sport, if it is even considered a sport, I do like biking, so there is that.
That's funny.
So, yeah.
Interesting, yeah. Well, my dad watches the Tour de France every year, loves Lance Armstrong. My dad used to ride, and not really compete, but just ride the course of the Tour de France when he lived in Europe. He was in the Air Force. So, I mean, my dad is all about that stuff, and he really hasn't said too much about it, because I don't think he cares at his age. You know, he's just like, whatever, it happens. But, I mean, people aren't going to forget Lance Armstrong's name for a long, long time. In fact, this may even solidify it as, you know, he'll be talked about like Babe Ruth for years, decades.
I don't I kind of don't like that, because if you're saying that he signed a release months ago, then he was already new. He's like, well, I'll confess to these things.
I don't know. Are you talking about for a movie?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Okay. I didn't see anything in any of the articles I browsed. I got to admit, I didn't just straight up read them all.
I wouldn't be half surprised if he did all this just to get the publicity and to get maybe whatever movie rights or something going on.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's tough to be a person in his situation.
Yeah, for sure.
I've always felt bad for the guy that came in second behind him. I forget his name. I think he was a German guy. I think his name was Lars. He came in second to Lance Armstrong in the Tour de France like 6 times. Nobody, I can't even remember his name, and I know about this situation, you know?
Well, here's what
I that's kind of funny.
I wonder if that guy was doping too, because, you know, the Germans were famous for that.
Yeah. I don't know. How dare you?
Oh, yeah, you're German. That's right. Sorry.
Anyway. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't matter. You know what? I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to criticize other nations. The only thing I am going to say is I did see something else online that I didn't mention to y'all yet that had me laughing is somebody commented or something about, like, that scene with Lance Armstrong in the movie Dodgeball. Like, it's going to be a whole different scene to me now. Do y'all remember that at all?
Okay. I never saw Dodgeball.
Oh, y'all never saw... Okay. There's a part where he's going to quit. Vince Vaughn is going to quit the Dodgeball tournament they're in, you know? And it's your classic, like, sports comedy story, right? Like, the hero's like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And then he comes back, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he goes to, like, an airport. He's waiting to get on the plane. And Lance Armstrong walks up. And he's like, hey, I recognize you from the Dodgeball tournament. He's like, I've been watching it on ESPN8 or whatever, you know. It's like ESPN8. Anyways, and so he's like, yeah, I think I'm done with Dodgeball. He's like, oh, man, I almost gave up once. He's like, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. He had some other kind of cancer, too. And he's like, but then I made a full recovery and won the Tour de France 5 times. And he, like, gives this little speech. And it really is a great scene, you know, and it's funny. But, you know, people are like, that scene now, like, It loses all of its luster. You know? Yes, it It'd does. Be like if you found out that Chuck Norris's thumb was fake, and so when he gives the thumbs up, it'd be like, no, or Chuck Norris's beard was fake, even worse. You know, it's just kind of like the whole heroic scene is gone.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Anyway, so I think we're all set on our first segment. Mm-hmm. So we'll move on to our second segment, and we'll have Dustin and Meredith join us for that section.
Yeah,
so,
we got them tied up in the closet right yes. now. They want to
keep
quiet.
I have a lot of chains, Luke. I chain a lot of people.
Yes.
Why you got to stop me?
You got to drag people to get on the show.
Yeah. Come on my podcast. All right, so we will see you guys in the second segment.
Yeah.
All right, welcome to the second segment of today's podcast. Today is, I don't know, I guess we don't have a name for a music segment, but whenever we do our second segment, it changes around. So Dustin.
Hello.
Hey, Dustin. Just let everybody know, everybody, actually we added Dustin and Meredith to, yes, Meredith is here. So from the first segment, me, Luke, myself, Luke, and Bethany are still here. Hi, Bethany.
Hey.
Yes. And so Dustin has the pick today for a CD, and I wanted him to pick really any worship album
All right.
to talk about. So Dustin, take it away.
Awesome. So I don't really have a favorite worship album of all time, but the album I chose was Jesus Culture Live from New York, which was this past summer. And so every year, this is the second year that Jesus Culture has done it. They have an awakening conference in the summer, and it's really big. They have big speakers like Bill Johnson, Carl Lentz from Hillsong New York, and this year they actually had T.D. Jakes, which was stinking awesome. But so the worship album is with Kim Walker and Chris Galila of Jesus Culture, and actually this year they had Martin Smith from Delirious that joined them, which I thought was really cool because, cool. Yeah, Martin Smith is like, or Delirious is from way back, and they were like kind of the first in spirit-filled Christian radio and
they're
worship.
Really like, not mainstream, but just
kind of. Yeah, mainstream. Just kind
yeah,
of,
we're a little more mainstream.
Yeah. So he was like a lot older than them, but it was cool because he came back and they did worship together. So
and for our listeners who aren't Christians or don't listen to that kind of worship album, I think for those of us here at this table, Jesus Culture is pretty high up on the list.
Yeah, definitely.
Top. Worship bands, yeah, that we like. So that's kind of our style. So
yeah,
love them or hate them. That's yeah, what we like to listen.
I just
to.
Yeah, definitely.
And so what are some tracks on there? Because I know the album, and I think the rest of us, you know, maybe not everyone here has it, but what are some tracks on there?
Right. Some of the, I mean, they did a mixture of some of the songs that Martin Smith wrote and some that Kim Walker wrote or Chris Galila. And then they also did some remakes of other songs like Set a Fire from United Pursuit Band. And they have like older songs like Show Me Your Glory and Our God Reigns from Martin Smith. And my favorite actually on the album is called Alleluia. And Chris Galila sings it. It's pretty awesome.
Is it
so.
The old hymn?
No, it's just a remake of a song. But one thing that's really cool about this album is there's a few tracks that are just completely spontaneous that they just kind of caught like what was happening like in the crowd. Like the people on stage aren't even singing. It's really just like the crowd completely like leading the worship set, which is cool because you kind of just catch the passion.
Well, you catch that live anointing that was there.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things. That's why most worship albums that I prefer are live ones.
Are live albums. Yeah.
Because you get that experience as opposed to just re-recording in the studio and you kind of lose fire, I think.
Definitely. I agree. So yeah, I would totally recommend it. It seems like every year now that they're having they have their Awakening conference every summer now, so they're recording a new Awakening album every year. So, but I definitely enjoyed this one, and it just, like Chris said, it just catches the anointing from the corporate set there in New York this summer.
And I would say, too, if you haven't listened to Jesus Culture before, there's, you know, it's more up-to-date Christian
right
worship rock contemporary, as some people
call it. Right, contemporary.
We don't have a contemporary service. We have a service that is contemporary. That's why we do it in our church.
Our service is contemporary.
I'm trying to bring everybody else in because I feel like I'm just talking to you, Dustin.
Right.
But, yeah, you kind of are. Sorry.
Yeah. But I would also say, check out Our God Reigns. I think we'll put that one on there. Because that one, I feel, is very accessible to people. Because it's easy to sing. And I know, actually, one of my favorite songs that Jesus Culture, you know, covers, or they play that they didn't write, is Our God is an Awesome God. Because there's such a breakthrough anointing on that. And it just, sing it over and over, it just kind of stirs you up. Because you can think about it a million times, and then sing it one more time, and be like, oh, God, it really is awesome. You know?
I agree.
So that makes it fun. So maybe we'll do, this podcast, we're going to play music from, you've already been hearing music from Jesus Culture,
right,
from this album. But maybe we'll do Our God Reigns and Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Dustin will pick out the ones that we'll
awesome.
Do.
Sounds good.
So you'll be listening to Dustin's picks. So before we close out our second segment, a nice and short one, which makes Luke happy.
Yeah, about 5 minutes long.
5 minutes. The people know. Does anybody have anything to add?
Well, he's talking about live albums, but I love Rick Pino's live album.
Nice. We'll get to Rick Pino. Actually, Rick Pino, if you don't know, is, as we call him, the Christian Jack Black.
Yes.
Yeah.
Radical worship leader, and looks like Jack Black, and sings like Jack Black.
Yeah.
He's
actually, his style of worship is actually classified as militant style. That's what they call his style of worship, because it's really, he's awesome.
Yeah, but then he brings his daughter up on stage, who's like 3 years old, and they sing A Cheerful Heart Does Good Like a Medicine in the middle of the worship set, and it's cute,
awesome.
And you just want to worship, because you're like, look at that little girl go. But I guess I'll tell everybody now, we are hoping, Rick Pino, if you're listening to this, I'm sure he is. I saw you on Instagram eating at Hop Dottie, so I've got to give you major props for that.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Because Rick is moving to Austin, or he's already about to buy a house, but they're here, and he's one of our favorite worship leaders, but we're trying to get him to come to our church to play.
That'd be awesome.
And if he does, I'm going to get him on this podcast.
Yes.
That's a done deal. So,
that's a done one.
So hopefully we'll get to talk about Rick Pino when he's actually here.
That'd be awesome.
So that would be cool. And maybe we can get some live recording of him and put
sing
it on.
That would be pretty awesome.
Get him to do an acoustic or something.
That would be so cool.
Acoustic intro or something.
Yeah. Well, we could record him with the setup we have, just plug in his guitar.
On his ukulele.
Yeah. On his ukulele,
He rocks the ukulele.
Doing random intros for each episode.
We're going to get, we've had Jack and Ian on before. I think we're going to get the two of them to make us some music. So.
Awesome.
Y'all had Ian on here?
Yeah, we had Ian on here.
That's awesome.
You missed it. Meredith missed it, everybody. Y'all.
And on
Ian's Fab Five, I have to say, it made me laugh so much. One of them was pretending to be asleep.
Stop.
That was on his Fab Five.
Fab Five. I died.
I love
All right. That's as good a place as any to close it. So, Dustin, what's the album?
It's Jesus Culture, live from New York with Martin Smith.
So. All right. So check that one out. You'll be hearing it right now. And stick around for our third segment. All right. You've made it to the third segment of episode 3 of Created Listening Podcast. This is our main topic today, which is looking forward to 2013, which none of you look excited for right now.
2013!
Right. So we have Mr. Luke Laris still with us.
Yep.
And Dustin West.
Hello.
Bethany Dunn.
What's up?
Soon to be Bethany Berkheimer.
That's weird.
Ow!
And Meredith McLeod.
Hi.
And I am your host, the guy who doesn't shut up, Chris Berkheimer.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah. So, hey. So, before we get into really what we're mainly going to focus on is movies, because that's just the way it's going to be. Meredith's very excited for that.
Yes.
And we're not going to do much of music because talking about CDs and stuff, you know, I think music more than anything is very subjective. And yeah, you can't, it's hard to keep track of even major music releases, let alone, you know, small bands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at your phone not for the podcast, then put it away.
Were you on the Twitter?
And
trying to tag Meredith in a tweet. Sorry.
He wants my Twitter to look more exciting.
There we go.
I only have the one.
Follow
thing.
Meredith on Twitter. Nobody follows her. She's
I'm unloved.
Yeah, it's okay. We love you here on this podcast.
Yay!
We love you,
baby.
And so, real quick about music. U2 has a release coming out this year, David Bowie, which I'm pretty excited about, although I don't know. I'm not sure. Are you mouthing I love David Bowie?
No. It was
a yes, from, you were.
From what's that singing movie? I could have gotten any other day. That my sister and I
Pitch Perfect?
Pitch Perfect, yeah. Just a quote from that.
Okay. You can say that. It's a podcast. Bowie? You have to talk.
No. I was just saying, yeah.
Yes, we are.
I think I actually saw something on PBS about that, and he did this awful video for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to hear what Bowie's doing, but, I mean, if it's bad, I'm not going to be too disappointed just because all of my favorite stuff of his was made, like, 40 years ago.
Yeah, so, and that's why I don't want to.
Getting old, bro.
And U2 is only about, you know, 20 years ago, my favorite stuff there. So that's when it came out. But U2 still made some good stuff.
Well, see, well, this is. But I don't really want to hear much more from Bowie or anybody who's last recorded like 40 or 30 years ago.
You diehard music fans who hate Skrillex, probably Luke is not your favorite person on this podcast.
Yeah, right.
I don't like Skrillex.
I'm just kidding.
I barely know who they are.
All right. Well, the main thing I want to say about music, though, if you live in Texas, this year's going to be real good.
Oh, yeah.
Because a bunch of us here at this table are going to see Sigur Rós.
Yeah.
And they have not been in the United States in 5 years. I'm so excited. I guess three of us are going to see him. Dustin and Luke not going to go see him. Little pricey. Guys.
We're going to hold down the fort.
Hold down the
fort. Marcus.
Yeah. Actually, Dustin will be doing my job that night.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dustin.
Yeah. Yay. Someone's
got to
do it.
Yeah. And Bethany and I are going to see Muse this year, which she has not seen. I've seen Muse, I think, 5 times.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. Luke, I will take you at some point.
Awesome.
Especially if they do a second leg of the same tour and come through Austin or something.
Modest Yahoo
and then the big one, Modest Yahoo is coming to San Marcos, our hometown.
Yeah.
Modest Yahoo is going to do an acoustic show at, I think, the Texas Music Hall or
Theater.
Yeah. Here in San Marcos.
It's like a country western venue, but he's coming to
Modest Yahoo. Islanders,
he's the Jewish rapper.
Yes, yeah, he is the Jewish rapper.
Sounds Jamaican.
And his most famous album, funny enough, was made at Stubbs. It's his Live at Stubbs album. That's what made him famous. And I've seen him live already, and he crushes it.
I was about to add that.
I lost some respect for him.
Well, you know, he was a traditional Jewish person, so he had a big old beard, but he shaved it. Like, it was like a year ago, though. It was a while ago.
It was a mega impressive beard, too.
Yeah. So, big year. It's going to be an awesome year. We'll get to some other stuff, but we're all just very excited. Personally, in our church, we're doing a lot of stuff. Bethany and I are getting married.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get a dog, and I talked about this before.
she wants
a hedgehog.
Yes. But I'll probably cave, and we'll get a dog first.
Yeah.
Hedgehogs and dogs don't mix very well.
They don't, but it's not like, I mean, I'm sure if you get a puppy and a baby hedgehog, they'll become best friends. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, yeah, they do say if you bring animals together as when they're young, then they will grow up to not want to eat each other.
So, or they always hate each other because they're animals. That
would be awesome to see.
My dog was good with my hamster.
That would be awesome to see a hedgehog eat the puppy, though.
you're
I thought they were best friends.
The hedgehog.
Dustin, it's supposed to be the other way around.
That was the joke, Luke. Mr. Laris. All right, so because the film discussion is going to be pretty long, we're going to turn to Mr. Luke Laris for some video game releases this year, 2013. So take it away.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty excited because BioShock Infinite is coming out in March.
Yes.
On the 26th. Mm-hmm. 26th of March this year. It's going to be set in 1912, which is, you know, let's see, the original two BioShocks were set in the 40s and 50s.
No, I think it was actually just late 50s, early 60s is when they are.
So I don't know why it's called Infinite. You know, when I think of Infinite, it's like, you know, I think of sandbox games and stuff where you can do pretty much anything forever. But it's going to be part of the same storyline, apparently.
Yeah, some people have this theory about, because it in this one, Rapture, or the city you go to, I can't remember what it's called. It's called New something. It's not called Rapture. But people have a theory that some of it's going to crash into the ocean at the end of the game.
Well, it's actually called Columbia. Anyway.
And, so you play a Pinkerton.
Yes.
which I have no idea what a
Pinkerton, is. In the Old West was basically a mercenary that they came to be after World War or after the Civil War.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they a lot of them guarded stagecoaches and were bounty hunters as well, that kind of stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So the storyline is you've got to go find this woman called Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Who's been held captive up in this air city for the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. So since 1900, yeah.
Luke, the stuff I've seen is like everything's very patriotic. Like there's robotic George Washingtons
yeah.
with guns and stuff, yeah, which excites
even,
me.
Even the logo's got a bit of the U.S.
Yeah,
flag
yeah,
on it.
Yeah,
and yeah.
And instead of the Big Daddies this time, you have the Songbird. Which you want to tell about the Songbird?
I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Okay, the Songbird is a giant mechanical bird that is sworn to protect the girl you're trying to rescue.
Oh, wow.
And the sequences with it look amazing, because you have this, you know, half Godzilla-sized monster chasing you around that can fly, and it's protecting the person you're trying to protect, really. So, looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, Columbia is apparently a city for entirely Americans.
Yeah,
You can only have Americans up there. So, yes. Apparently this is, people got sick of all the immigrants and just... Oh, we'll build a sky city and...
Well, I don't know if it's that or if it's... and it may be, and it looks like there's a lot of different warring philosophies going on there, because I know you're kind of in the middle of your own civil war there. But mm-hmm. Another thing that I find interesting, it kind of reminds me of my favorite president, Teddy Roosevelt, because he was all about, like, don't say you're from whatever home country. Once you become a U.S. citizen, you're from America. And he was all about American pride.
Yeah, isn't that...
And that's right around the time of his presidency.
Yeah,
1912.
That's
yeah. So I think that's interesting. Which, if he shows up in the game, I'm going to, like, stop everything and just put it all over Facebook and Twitter and call every person I know and be like, Teddy Roosevelt, the video game! And if you get to play as him and kill people as Teddy Roosevelt, you get to, like, kill bad people with them.
I believe you can only play as an Agent Booker.
So, yeah, I think you're just the Agent Booker.
But, you know, meeting Teddy or stuff like that would be...
Well, Luke, I know you have a few more, so...
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. So, BioShock Infinite is coming out in March this year. And next on the list we have Crysis 3.
Which I have not played, but you are a big fan of.
Well,
in fact, you're the only person here who knows anything about it.
Yeah. Well, Crysis, you have this suit, which I don't know the full story. I haven't played through them all. I've just watched a lot of videos on it. And with the suit you can... You can reinforce it so you're bulletproof. You can use it to make you stronger, run faster, or even become almost invisible.
A little bit like Iron Man with upgrades. You can constantly upgrade.
Sort of, but yeah. Anyway.
That's cool. But it's a shooter, right?
Yes, it is. Okay, it's a shooter. It's quite interesting. You know, I think the storyline is this British agent is sent in wearing the suit to... investigate something has to do with aliens and blah blah blah.
She's really, just an excuse to go in and shoot stuff up.
Yes, basically. and throw Japanese people.
Do you have a question?
No, I just said I could dig that.
I
excuse.
Okay. Did you have one more game?
Still talking about Crysis 3.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's coming out in February 19th.
Okay, so
this
next
year.
Month.
From yesterday.
So yeah, it's set 24 years after Crysis 2, and the main guy, the Prophet, is said to be on a revenge mission after the events that happened in Crysis 2.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And you've played through the other ones.
I haven't played any.
Okay, you haven't played any. Oh, so
yeah, I got to
marathon them all.
That.
All right, maybe we'll have you talk about that.
Yeah. So.
Okay, well, Luke, I got to ask you one question. If you follow Luke on Twitter, how do you have time to play other games besides World of Tanks?
Well,
if you follow Luke on Twitter, he's always saying play in World of Tanks.
I actually turned that off a week ago, but anyway, I do find time to just I get bored of World Tanks eventually. Too many losses, and then I'll play some other games.
I think both games, Crysis 3 and BioShock, definitely more adult oriented.
Yeah, definitely.
But I can recommend the BioShock game, especially if you like. A video game that makes you think, really.
Yes.
It has a lot of interesting philosophical... Ayn Rand is definitely in there, as well as like a little bit of Notes from the Underground. There's philosophy behind it.
Yeah.
But Crysis more adult oriented?
No, it's pretty violent. And okay.
But you would give it a recommendation if you can handle that stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
All right, Luke, thank you very much. All right, we're going to move on to TV, and we will try and get through fairly quick so we can get to movies, but I don't know. First, if you follow me on Twitter, I posted something the other day that I'm super excited about. First of all, Adventure Time is coming back on TV. Oh, but yeah. Adventure Time is coming to Netflix streaming. And yes. I'm very excited.
Oh, gosh. There goes America.
Uh-huh. I'm just going to come right out here. I do not like it.
I don't either. High fives.
All right, so
hey, it's okay.
Luke and Meredith can be ignored.
It's okay. I like Adventure Time.
Dustin likes it, and Bethany thinks it's cute.
I think it's really cute.
I think yes. Dustin likes it because he can't possibly understand it at all.
So he just sits there.
I like it. If you like zany cartoons and especially buddy stuff, Jake and Finn are two good buddies that you know what, they walk through thick and thin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's something that like. The show will probably be over by the time I have kids, but I'll definitely be bringing out the DVDs when I have kids because I'll want to watch it with them. So, like, no, let's watch some other dumb show. I'm like, I don't want to watch that. Let's watch Adventure Time. It's a cartoon for kids. And like, I don't get it, Dad. I don't get it. But, so there's Adventure Time. And Community. All right, everybody here at this table.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
in this
room. Yes, yes, I love
Community. Is supposedly coming back in February.
Nice.
They keep pushing it back, but season 4 has already been made.
Okay.
Awesome. So they've already recorded them. They just need to release them on TV. So let's all take a moment to pray for it.
I really hope there's another paintball episode. Or something.
I'm hoping. Actually, they did a episode where they hinted that there was a noir mobster paintball with like paintball Tommy guns. It was in black and white.
That's
I was
awesome.
Like, I would love to see that because remember they had the Western one, that was, right. which is one of the best episodes.
And then. More air conditioning cult.
Yes, Troy getting awesome. Recruited by the air conditioning repairman. There's a lot of things. And I will have a whole Community episode, but I just want everybody to know that we like Community a lot.
Yes,
it's a great show. And Yvette Nicole Brown, who plays Shirley, I do believe is a pretty strong Christian.
Yeah.
She tweets about that and everything, and she's she likes the way they portray her character on the show. Because they poke at everybody, which I'm fine with that. If they make fun of everybody, then I'm more okay with it.
Yeah.
Instead, even if they're picking on one group that's not Christians, you know, it can be a little weird. So, yeah. And Parks and Rec is already back on.
Oh, yes.
And so we're all big Parks and Rec fans.
Especially
this
Luke.
Season. Bethany, have you been watching, or is it not back?
I think like every show, it just has some weeks where it's new, some weeks where it's romance.
Okay, yeah.
But honestly, I just haven't gotten a chance.
You and I haven't had a chance to catch up, so I'm not too sure what all has been going on. And well, I know there was the episode.
Well, yeah, I mean, spoiler alert if you haven't been watching them, but
okay.
Leslie and Ben got engaged.
That's right. So, Leslie and Ben are now engaged.
So they had like I think the next episode was their engagement party, and that was.
So maybe the end of the season will be a wedding. Is what we might have. That might be fun.
Man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Okay, if you're listening, unspoiler alert. Now we're done talking about spoiler stuff. There was a great episode this season I forgot about where Ron goes to the woodworking convention.
Oh my gosh!
And he geeks out over. Did you see this one, Luke?
No.
He sees a guy there. This is just unassuming old man, and Ron sees him, and he's like, "That's blah blah blah." He basically created the blah 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 design, and he's like, "Oh my god!" And his girlfriend's like, "Why don't you go talk to him?" He's like, "No, I'm sure he gets swamped." And he's just sitting there alone, you know, because he's just a guy that created some different way of like making chairs or something. You know? It was hilarious. So Parks and Rec, definitely a great show. Okay, two shows that I kind of want to cover before we get to a big one that I'm probably the most excited about. Has anybody seen Vegas?
Nope.
I've seen a few episodes.
A few episodes, yeah, because Dustin and I's one of our bosses watches it, Mr. Hall.
Yeah.
He tells Mr. Reginald Hall stories.
Hall.
Yeah, we could have him on the podcast.
Oh, yes, please.
Mr. Hall, we're two young white guys. Mr. Hall is in his 40s, black guy. And
he's awesome.
And we get along so well, and it's so much fun to hang out with him. And he's always making fun of us about like what white people do on TV.
Right.
And it's pretty funny.
He calls them your people. Okay, Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall is hilarious.
Like
and a
him.
Great boss. But he loves Vegas. And Michael Chiklis is like his favorite actor.
Yeah.
So he loves. And I actually, Dennis Quaid is in it. He plays the sheriff. Yes. I like Dennis Quaid.
I like Dennis Quaid.
Okay, I like him in a goofy way, but I also think he knows how to act. Like, he knows how to do his job.
Yeah.
And he's good as a sheriff. That's a good role.
I think he would be a good dad. I could see Dennis Quaid being a good dad.
Yeah. He always plays a dad on TV.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, and she played... I'm looking at Meredith right now. She played Trinity in The Matrix. Carrie...
Oh!
What is her name?
Oh!
Oh, Meredith's going to the phone. I thought she would know it. Anyways, I like that actress a lot, and she plays the district attorney. Mm-hmm. So it's one that eventually I would like to go through and watch some of, see if I like it.
We down to ultra big news now.
Carrie Ann Moss, thank you. Yeah. We have Moss. We have one more before we get to. Do you know which one I'm?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Before we say that, one more. A new show called The Americans that has Carrie Russell, actually, of Felicity fame. This one looks very interesting to me. It is about, if we haven't said already, Becca's in the room.
No, we haven't said it.
We haven't said it. She's dropping stuff. It's fine. and y'all don't know who Becca is, but what's the matter?
Mm-hmm.
The Americans is about two Russian spies living in the United States during the Cold War.
Oh, wow.
And so they have, like,
amazing.
It's a husband and wife that they have kids. And they live in a house, but the trailer, one of the trailers for it is the mom's, like, making food, and it's just a very normal suburban situation, and then she walks upstairs, and the husband's, like, on the radio, and it's got, like, all this communist propaganda on the wall, you know, and he's, like, talking to Moscow, and I was like, that's a great trailer, you know, so I'm, just for the promo alone, I'm going to check out the first episode.
Is this a documentary? Because
no.
Oh, okay. Because I read of about a couple like that was
execution. Oh, there were plenty.
Yeah,
during the Cold War, there were plenty, and we had spies over there.
Oh.
Which at first I thought that's what it was about. It's our spies over there, but no, it's actually about Russians over here. So it's more like a Macbeth situation. It's about the bad guy. I think it'll be one of those shows you find yourself rooting for the communists, you know, because you're like, don't get caught. Like, wait, no, get caught, you dirty communist. Trying to take down the United States. Anyways.
States of America.
So,
America.
Could be a very cool America. Spy show.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, so we'll check that one out. All right, and the big news, Arrested Development Season 4 is coming to Netflix.
Bethany.
I can never get with it. I just don't understand it.
What is wrong with you?
Nothing.
Okay, Bethany says all this, but anytime I do Job's voice and say magic,
okay,
she can't help but smile and she's laughing.
Even. I just love that guy.
Yes.
He's so
Will Arnett cracks
Will
Bethany.
Arnett.
Yes.
I love that.
Saddest
so
day ever when Will Arnett and Amy Poehler got
a divorce. I seriously wanted to cry.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
But Bethany, that was the one thing that almost kept me from proposing to her, Luke, was she did not
I'm
like
sure.
Are you
I'm
serious?
Sure.
That was like the only
I'm
thing.
Kidding.
Okay, good. I was like, that's
that was shocked. The only thing. No, also, also your feet are weird because you have 6 toes.
Yeah, they are kind of weird.
Not 6 toes on 1 foot, total. 6 toes total. So, yeah, Arrested Development's coming back. We will have a show all about it. I'm looking at two of you, Meredith and Luke.
Like,
definitely y'all will
show.
Be coming over and we'll watch.
Yes.
We'll watch them all the day they come up.
Yes.
We'll call in sick. Dustin, you can join us as soon as you've
happen.
Seen it.
Yes.
Yes. It's one of my favorite comedies ever.
Yes. Yeah,
all right, so that is TV this year we're looking forward to. Now the big discussion, and we've got plenty of time. Meredith is going to lead that.
Movies. Okay, there are so many good, awesome-looking movies coming out, but, don't make fun of my grammar.
I'm sorry.
It's bad.
No, you're just very enthusiastic.
I am. This is what okay, to put this in perspective for everyone, every single Friday morning, I go on IMDb Coming Soon and browse and watch, like, the new
trailers
coming out.
Hey, Meredith, where do you work?
This
is what I do with my life.
The historic Dollar Theater in downtown San Marcos.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Half
don't
price Tuesdays.
Like, hey,
Chris,
thanks for telling
it's a third price
Tuesdays.
I
thanks.
Told him before. She didn't care.
No, it's 15 cents. What?
Nothing. She'll be gone by the time we have listenership that would stalk Meredith. She'll be in college, and we won't say where.
I'm so excited. Okay, anyways, so movies. There are a lot of movies coming out, and this is in no particular order, except for the top, or like my most excited for, because when we originally did this, Chris was like, don't choose all movies, because I know you. And so I had to go find other stuff.
No, I let her fly. You picked 15, right?
I picked 15,
all right, well,
and it was really easy.
Let's let it rip,
okay.
So that we can talk about them.
Man of Steel.
Oh.
Comes out when?
It's coming up June 14th, and I am disgustingly excited. That was one of the best, like, first small trailers
the teaser.
That I've ever seen. Yes.
The short teaser for it is amazing.
Yeah, the teaser was phenomenal, and it was right before The Hobbit,
yes.
Right? Was that the first
one? Well, the first one I saw was for Dark Knight Rises.
There we go.
There was, literally a 20-second teaser where it's just it's a lot of voiceover and the music, and only at the end do you see him flying, and you're just like,
and
okay,
just, like,
that
was awesome. And I was like, what? Okay, anyways. Yeah. Star Trek Into Darkness comes out May 17th.
Okay.
Mega excited.
Yes, I think we're all excited. Because, you know, Superman, just to go back real quick, I think we're all a little, I hope it's good.
Yeah. Either it's awesome or it's bad.
Yeah, we're going to see it either way, but it's kind of one of those things where I don't have as high expectation. But Star Trek, I do.
Yeah.
Because the first Star Trek was
The 2009 film. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Okay, The Great Gatsby is coming out May 10th. I usually am not a huge fan of them redoing movies, but I watched that trailer 9 times. It looks really good.
I have not seen the trailer, but it's directed by Baz Luhrmann, who has only done one good movie, in my opinion, Moulin Rouge, which I'm not even sure you like that one.
I don't.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty good movie. His other movies are not that great, and I think it's going to be a mess. Honestly.
Because
his last movie was Australia, which was a complete mess.
But, okay, The Great Gatsby itself.
It's a great book. And the Robert Redford movie is really good.
And then The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Yes. You can go slower if you want.
Okay. So
you can talk more about some of these movies.
Oh, no, I didn't put the date down.
That comes out Christmas.
December,
yeah.
A nice Christmas present.
Yes.
That'll be a nice Christmas present. So I'm super excited. Midnight release, everyone?
Yes.
Probably.
Probably not for me. I have to work the next day.
Bethany already knows she's working the next day.
I do.
How do you know we're not going to win the lottery, sweetheart?
Let's pray for that.
Right. You'll dig up some gold.
So I have a question about The Hobbit, because I haven't read the book. I don't know a lot about it. But I've been told that it wouldn't be too hard for it to be made into two films. So what part of The Hobbit do you think that they're going to stretch out in the second film?
Well, made into three. Yeah,
they're going to do three. Yeah.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
But it made more
so
sense
much,
to do two films
it would
instead
make
of three.
Instead of three.
Oh,
so,
I see what you mean. Well, you can make more money, though.
Well, here's how I think it's working. Right now, it's the journey to the mountain.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then I think the second movie will be about what happens in the mountain, how they take out Smaug and stuff. And then the last part will be their journey back. There's a lot of stuff that happens on their journey back.
There's one thing you're missing from there is the War of Five Armies takes place. Which that'll be in the third movie, I can almost guarantee.
Right.
This next movie, though, something they haven't done yet is Mirkwood, which is when they go through the woods.
With the spiders.
And there's giant spiders.
Yeah,
and
that's
stuff,
on the way back, though.
This is spoilers for the book, which if you haven't read the book, The Hobbit, then you're Dustin, and what's wrong with you?
Okay.
I haven't read it either, so.
What?
I know.
It's two now.
We have two blasphemers at this table.
Okay.
Meredith's not saying anything. I don't know if she's read the book.
She probably hasn't read it.
We have three blasphemers. Okay.
What?
I haven't read it yet.
All right, I'm excited for in the second movie, though, there's a character, Bjorn, that they stay at his house, and he can turn into a bear.
That's awesome.
I really think they morphed that character into the brown wizard.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think they'll still have Bjorn because they have time for him, so why not?
At least
something where a bear attacks people.
But bear attacks people, but it makes no sense to have two hardcore tree huggers.
Tree hugger, like the hippies.
Okay, I'm cutting in because we have a lot more movies.
Okay.
Okay, World War Z comes out June 21st.
Is that the zombie
one? That is the zombie one with Brad Pitt.
That's the only reason I'm not excited about it.
Because
I'm not a mega Brad Pitt fan. There's a couple movies that I'm like, yeah.
I'm not super excited for it because I read the book, and I'm going to be a snob here and say there's no way they could do the book justice. Because the book is not one continuous story. It's just a reporter interviewing people whose most of their stories are completely different from each other.
I'm thinking that it's not going to be like the book.
It won't be.
I think they're just going to completely do something different but call it World War Z.
I'll see it eventually. I'll have to see it without Bethany. So whenever
I
Bethany
put it on there because it's going to... Becca?
Becca's dropping phones.
I put it on there because it's going to be a very controversial film.
Yeah.
And there's people who are going to be looking forward to it, and then there's people who are just going to be like...
You know, I have some good friends. I have a good friend who, until he moved, back to his hometown that went to church here, that if you just say zombies, he's going to watch it, you know?
Yeah.
And most of y'all met Bernardo. He'll be excited I mentioned him, hopefully. But yeah, Bernardo, you just say zombies, he's like, I'm there, you know? And some people are all about that, but I don't know.
There's another zombie film coming out soon. Is that on your list? The one, like the... It's like a romantic comedy, I think.
It's like the teen romance he's a zombie.
Yeah, the zombie falls in love and becomes a human.
Warm bodies.
I think warm bodies.
Warm bodies.
That looks awful.
I'm definitely a fan of almost anything with zombies in it, as long as the characteristics of the zombies are correct.
You're one of those people that argues like what is and what is not a zombie.
Yes. Yeah. Because that movie that Dustin's describing, it sounds like the zombie has emotions, it feels it.
Thank no, that know. One's, yeah, it's pretty different. No, it's a comedy, though. I mean, it's done very tongue-in-cheek. World War Z will be very much zombies, except for I know they're fast zombies, because from the trailer, like, amazingly fast
Are so many weird parts in that trailer. Like, they're doing the lemur thing, and they're all just, like, jumping off cliffs, and then they're, like, climbing on each other. And I was like, what the heck?
They're clumsy.
Zombies. They learn how to move in, like, a swarm.
They swarm and they like climb up onto each other to do stuff.
I wish you could see right now. Bethany looks absolutely terrified just hearing us talk about this movie.
Oh my gosh. So. Well, that was
amazing. All right, what's next?
Despicable Me 2 comes out July 3rd.
Who cares?
I care.
Okay.
They are so cute.
Am I alone on this?
Yes, you are.
Okay, the little kids are that great. They're the cutest kids in the world.
They're so cute.
And the little girls are cute.
Yes.
And the little yellow monsters.
The little yellow guys.
That's not
me.
On my list, but Monsters University.
I will go see.
Okay, I'm excited. I'm excited about the kids because the kids.
Despicable Me.
I loved. Agnes is one of my favorites.
We're gonna go see that. You go see World War Z.
I don't know if I want to pay to see World War Z in the theater. I might just wait until it comes in.
That's fine. We're gonna
go. Okay, I'm moving on. The Wolverine. It's happening July 26th. Go.
Does anybody else think like? High hopes or good expectations for this.
I've heard this.
Is this an X-Men?
This is continuation of just the Wolverine movie, which the original one was awful. Bethany and I saw it. It was terrible.
Terrible. I'm excited.
Okay, I'm excited. Why are you excited? Because I'm excited to say why I'm excited.
Well, you say why you're excited.
Because it is based on the Frank Miller Wolverine stories where he goes to Japan. And those are some of the best ones because it's Wolverine fighting samurai and ninjas. And he takes on, though, he basically, does Bushido and stuff. Like, he takes on, different Japanese philosophies with his claws. It's the most philosophical, but yet it's some of the most, action-packed Wolverine stories.
Okay.
He falls in love, and there's actually a beautiful romance story there. And, because he's, an outsider, and she's very, they call him Gaiji, which means outsider, and they call him Gaiji Dog, which is, outside dog or whatever. And it's just Wolverine, but it does such a good job of explaining his character.
That's cool.
So if you haven't read those old Wolverine comics by Frank Miller and Chris Claremont, they are classics for sure. So I'm hoping and praying that they do the story justice, because if they do, it could be as good as X-Men First Class.
Which was phenomenal. Which is
fantastic.
Why I'm excited about it, by the way.
Yeah. Is that why you're excited about it?
I'm excited because they've done good on the last one, so I was like, yay, I hope.
Now, First Class 2 doesn't come out until 2014.
Yeah, that's not happening this year.
All right, I can't wait to talk about that.
Okay, this one you're going to keep on talking about, so I'm going to cut in. Pacific Rim happens July 12th.
Yes. Okay,
all right, I'm going to put on a cone of silence and let y'all talk for two or three minutes.
Okay, I'm super pumped.
I don't know what that is.
So it's these monsters from the underground come out, and they're huge, these big monster things. And so these people make these robots.
Giant robots to fight giant monsters.
Giant robots to fight giant monsters. But people suit up in these buildings, and it's all as they walk and stuff, it's
the best part though. In the trailer, you can unmistakably hear GLaDOS speaking.
Right.
GLaDOS from Portal 2. Yeah, well, the whole Portal series anyway. But anyway, that is awesome.
Sidebar, Bethany, you should say something.
Oh, I'm excited about that. That sounds really cool. I guess I need to watch the
trailer. Don't move on until I can tell. Do you want to say anything?
I'm really excited for this movie.
All right. They're free mip talk. Okay, I am so excited for this movie.
Oh, my gosh.
It's directed by Guillermo del Toro, if you don't think you have the stomach for it, do not watch Pan's Labyrinth, because it has a very sad ending. I mean, it has Children in Danger, but it's an adult fairy tale, and it is one of my favorite movies. I love it so much. There are a few movies shot as well as Pan's Labyrinth. It is such a good movie. Guillermo del Toro has made some really interesting stuff. I think he just... A lot of my favorite directors are what I call the Spanish masters, which are guys that are just so good with their camera that it's like, I don't know, it's a piece of storytelling. So Guillermo del Toro, though, also loves monster movies. Yes. And so this is him just cutting loose and being like, I want to see giant robots fight Godzilla. And I'm like, yeah, I do too, dude.
Of course you do.
See, here's the thing. He's not Michael Bay. So the movie will have interesting characters, interesting plot, and not be for 13-year-olds. It won't have a dumb joke where a Transformer gets up and, you know, like, is racist or
and
something.
And then there's explosions.
Yeah, and explosions everywhere, okay? It will have some heart. And, I mean, the idea of, like, hey, these ancient monsters, kind of like, if you like H.P. Lovecraft, they come out of the ocean, and we don't have a way to fight them. Like, jets don't work, anything. So we have to get creative. And I like the idea of, like, people coming together to create, like, this new machine, new idea, you know, pioneering. And so it takes two people to operate the machines.
Right.
And so they go and fight them and just, trust me, when that movie's getting closer, I'm just going to talk about it more. And then the night it comes out, I'll definitely do a podcast on it.
So. The trailer got me jacked.
And I've heard people like, laugh at the trailer, actually, because they think it's, like, overkill, you know, because they're like, oh, big monsters and stuff. And I'm just like, you know what? Just wait and see. I think it will be not as much as The Matrix, but it'll kind of be like the next big thing in sci-fi where you're like, where did that come from? Because a lot of people don't realize the skill of the director. So
can't wait.
I'm done, Meredith.
Okay, no, this is just funny because my list is full of like Chris hits. So every time he keeps on going, I'm like, we have six left and they're all going to be
We have six
there.
Left, okay. So let's go.
Ender's Game, November 1st.
Great book. Hope they do the movie justice. It's got Harrison Ford.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Really?
Harrison Ford is he's one of the teachers. Luke, you still haven't read that, have you?
No, I haven't.
We need to get people tweet at Luke Laris and tell him to read Ender's Game if you've read it, because it is such a book for him, it's crazy. It is so a Luke book. So,
Luke a book.
It'll be a good movie.
There's a couple other books want to be ready. So you need to send me that list.
I'll send you a list.
Anchorman, The Legend Begins, December 20th.
What is that?
You never saw the original Anchorman? It's Will Ferrell. No. It's one that people quote nonstop.
It really
it's
is.
Probably, it's probably, yeah, definitely
the best part for me is Steve Carell, and that's about it.
So, it's a Will Ferrell movie. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of his more classic comedies. I think it's good, not great.
I think my opinion of Will Ferrell has soured over time. Just, you know, mostly from these crappy Twitter accounts that are retweeted like mad.
Yeah, the Anchorman, they quote him from there.
Yeah, that's the most quoted.
But I guess Meredith's excited. The rest of us, I don't know.
I'm not mega excited, but it will be one of those quotable movies.
It'll be a big release.
That everyone's going to be like,
It'll make a lot of money.
I don't like sequels, especially not of funny movies, because usually there's
nothing. They lose their power.
Yeah.
Pull it. It's okay.
Do you need a water?
I needed a tissue.
Oh, he needs a tissue. Dustin's pointing and I'm trying to interpret.
My finger's
empty.
It's empty, sorry.
Dustin's tissues are empty. All right, Meredith, go to the next one.
Okay, The Hunger Games Catching Fire comes out November 22nd. I'm going to talk first.
Dang.
Just have to start. I'm excited for this movie, but... Are you okay, Luke?
We're all cowering in the corner here because Dustin's...
Luke's having a spaz. I'm excited for this movie, but I was impressed by the first one in a weird way. They did really good on the filming and the CGI and that kind of stuff. They followed the book really well. It wasn't a phenomenal film. I love Jennifer Lawrence, but other than that, the acting was kind of just blah.
Bethany, are you the only person that doesn't like Jennifer Lawrence?
I love Jennifer Lawrence.
She's a great actress.
And
she has
I'm
a great
really excited for the new movie because of her and because of the amazing special effects and the fact that they will follow the book as much as they are able.
Yeah.
Done.
First movie was really good. Did everybody who saw it like the first movie?
Yes.
I never saw it.
Yeah, you did Hunger Games. You saw it with me.
Oh,
it
Hunger Games.
I liked it the first four times, and then after that, I was like, I'm done.
Well, okay.
It was the year of the bow and arrow between Hawkeye and the Hunger Games.
I liked the weirdness of it.
Hawkeye.
It's just, I didn't like the story as much.
Jeremy,
I like just about everything about the Hunger Games, really.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it's a good movie. All right, next one. How many do we have left?
We have three left.
Three left. All right.
This last one I mean, this one y'all probably won't know, but City of Bones from the Mortal Instruments books.
I do know about those. I haven't read them, but I know what it is.
August 23rd. Pretty good books. They're about Nephilim, which is interesting. Yeah. Angel people?
It's when it says in the Bible.
Yeah, I know what they are. Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, so the Mortal Instruments. I don't like the actors and actresses they picked, but it should be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't think they casted well. Iron Man 3, May 3rd.
Yes.
I think everybody's so excited for that one.
Of course.
Russell Towns
Jr. Yes, Bethany has a big old crush.
I do too.
Older man crush.
Older man crush.
Oblivion, which I'm not excited about, but Chris said I had to talk about. April 18th.
April 18th. Okay, it's Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is awesome, okay? I like Tom Cruise.
Jack Reacher was the best movie he's done
in quite a while.
Years.
Okay.
Night and Day sucked.
Because the trailer made it.
What?
Oh, yeah, Ghost Protocol.
What?
You didn't like, Meredith did not like Ghost Protocol.
Okay, so I loved it.
Bethany and I loved it.
Loved it.
Had so much fun. And we saw it in the IMAX, so it was like impressive when they're climbing the tallest building in the world.
I liked one line in that movie.
I know exactly
yes,
which one.
We're not going to quote it.
Hey, wait, Jeremy Renner's in that movie, so you have to give it a little credit.
I know, but he's not, okay, there's something about that with a bow and arrow.
All right.
Just saying.
All right. There you go, guys. movies and bows and arrows. That's how you win her heart. Okay, real quick. Oblivion. We've left Earth, moved on to other planets, and Tom Cruise is part of, like, the Earth cleanup crew, and he finds stuff. You know, no surprise there. He, like, finds, you know, there's still life there or whatever. But from the trailer looks very cool.
Looks
visually
sabotage.
Striking. Yeah. So that, and to rewind a little, what was the... one you did
After Earth with Will Smith.
No,
I was like, we didn't talk about that.
You did City of Bones or whatever. What was the one before that? Because you went fast on it.
I thought it was the Iron Man.
Iron Man 3. Yeah, just real quick on Iron Man 3. Yes, we're all excited for it, but I think it's going to be a different kind of Iron Man story, judging from the trailers and just from what I know. If you want to do a little reading up on it, the Matt Fraction comics of Invincible Iron Man, when he connects a hard drive to his brain, Luke. You might like reading about this. Mm-hmm. And then, because bad guys are trying to, like, basically legally steal stuff from him because he becomes a criminal almost, and some bad guys become good guys kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's slowly, like, breaking down, and it just reminds me of that scene in the trailer where he's pulling the Iron Man suit on chains, like, through the snow, mm-hmm. because he keeps going to, like, lower and lower versions of the Iron Man suit as he mentally, like, is being broken down. So I think Iron Man 3 will be pretty dark like that, to be honest.
I'm excited.
But it still will be a very good film. So, yeah, I'm excited for that.
Okay,
so,
does anyone know when the new Sleeping Beauty is coming out? This is important.
Okay, then there's a new one.
Angelina Jolie as...
Oh, it's Maleficent.
Are you
the one, where she played... It's more the bad guy's perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know. But until I see a trailer, I don't know what to judge on that one, because it might just be... We were just talking to each other.
Sorry.
It might just be, like, Tim Burton trash, basically, what I...
What?
It could be, but
I don't like Tim Burton, but we can't have this conversation now. Luke, all right, at some point, remind us, tweet at us. Luke and I need to have a Tim Burton debate.
He's made
two good movies, that's my opinion.
I haven't seen all his stuff, but all the stuff I've watched has
Luke been and I amazing. Will sit down and watch some Tim Burton and debate.
Okay, we'll do Scissorhands first.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good movie.
Yes.
That is movies.
Okay, I want to go around the table, though. Starting with Luke.
What?
Most excited for which movie?
Dang, that's a hard one.
I deleted them.
You deleted your list.
I'm kind of excited for Man of Steel, but
Man of Steel?
I think... Yeah, I'm definitely going with Pacific Rim is
okay.
I'm most excited for.
Dustin?
I'm going to say Pacific Rim.
I thought
it's going to be stinking awesome.
Bethany, what's the one you want to see the most?
Well, I was going to look at the list again, so I'm like, well, what was
she didn't do enough cartoons for
she
you.
She didn't, but I'm probably...
It's probably
going to
be... Me too.
It's probably going to be Iron Man 3.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I deleted my list as I was going, so
right,
I
Meredith.
Killed her. Don't do this to me.
Most excited
you
for
gotta
which
pick
one.
I don't know, you guys.
Wait, no, I take mine back. Hobbit. That's what it is.
I'm really excited about The Hobbit, but I'm trying to go over them just one time so that I know which one. All right,
Meredith, keep looking. No surprise here, mine is Pacific Rim.
Awesome.
Guys, yes. Manpower, you know Pacific Rim.
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent choice. The only reason I'm not going with Star Trek is because Pacific Rim is coming.
Yes.
I've seen one Star Trek, though, and I'm excited for the next one, but Pacific Rim, it's something all new. There'll be stuff in there that we don't know is coming, so I'm excited for that.
Yes.
All right, so that is our discussion of the upcoming year. We hope it's a good one for y'all, and hopefully we'll be back next week with episode 4. And thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter, at CreatedListen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody say bye.
Bye.
Bye.